We're talking about atrocities, and we have to wait for words to come from this secretary and from that president. I believe actions are needed at this point more than any other thing. And when we talk about actions, we don't want them to go into a war against Myanmar government. We want them to exercise measures like sanctions, to put embargoes, to isolate those, to put them on the criminal list. This is going to help, I believe, more than anything else.
Mr. Korb, I'm sure you have a response to that, but just hold on to your thoughts. I just want to take a quick time out and go to our viewer comments as posted on our various social media platforms. Let's listen to those comments and we'll be right back.
Why is America or NATO or the UN not putting any pressure on the government of Myanmar to ensure the Muslims there are protected? Oh, I see, it's not doing anything. You don't have to go to war. At least diplomatic efforts should be done urgently. May Allah punish those killing Muslims around the world and keep Rohingya Muslims safe. The Myanmar government knows the potential danger they pose, hence that's wise action. All Muslims should help the Rohingya Muslims. When the international community is silent about Rohingya community, then Muslims should do something. Myanmar is another terrorist state after Israel. If Myanmar's government refuses to adhere to the calls of the international bodies, then the UN and the EU should sanction them.
Just some of our viewer comments there as posted on this topic. As promised, I want to go now to Mr. Korb and get him to respond to what Mr. Mousavi there said. Mr. Korb, I just want to add this in there. Certainly, I don't want this to be just a U.S. bashing thing, but I certainly... This time, this era in Myanmar was supposed to be an era of democracy and freedom, especially after Aung San Suu Kyi won her Nobel Peace Prize, especially after she was released, etc. Things were supposed to be different, but they haven't worked out in that way. Yet, we see the Western world as a whole standing behind the Myanmarese government, at least publicly. Why is that?
Well, again, I can explain why they're doing it and not exactly defend it. It's important to keep in mind that even if the United States were to put sanctions on, we don't trade that much with Myanmar. It's got to be the countries in the region, China, India, for example, Pakistan. These countries have also got to take action, and it should come through something like APEC, which would get all of the countries there. If the United States were to get out front, then people would accuse us again of acting unilaterally. And I agree. I mean, for example, before President Obama went over there, there was a wonderful article in the New York Times that talked about how bad these things were. I think most people weren't paying attention to it. Everybody was focusing on, for example, what's happening in the Middle East with ISIL. But again, I would think similarly, you know, the Pope is in Turkey now complaining about the way Christians have been treated in many parts of the Middle East. So yeah, people need to speak out about this. On the other hand, and again, I'm trying to explain it here, not defend it, Myanmar has made some progress since they got rid of the military dictatorship and they let our Nobel Peace Prize winner out of jail. So they have made some progress, but you're quite right. They have not dealt with this the way they should, and the world should be appalled about this.
Mr. Mousavi, to be fair, a lot of Rohingya activists are also quite disappointed with the way that the Middle Eastern countries have responded as well. Many, are very critical of the OIC, for example, or many Muslim bodies, and how they've responded. Many of their words, of course, condemned what's happening to the Rohingya people, but there hasn't been a lot of action even from the Muslim world. How do you feel about that?
Well, let me first praise, I'm not here just to make praises, but let me praise, Press TV for opening this session and for giving the opportunity to talk about the Rohingya Muslims and the persecution they are under from the government. I'm sorry to say, and this is very shameful for many Arab and Islamic countries, what's really happening there, that they are not doing anything. It's when we say shame on the United States because it's superpower, because they can do something about it, this does not mean that we are not responsible. responsible. The responsibility is being shared by many different parties, by many different countries and governments that should do something about it. But as you know, the whole region is being plagued by a lot of massacres. I mean, he was talking, our colleague from Washington was saying something about the Christians in Turkey and how they are treated. I want to remind him about the Christians in Bethlehem in Palestine, occupied Palestine, how their numbers has diminished because of the Israeli persecution. And Israel is the number one ally to the United States of America, so they can do something about it. So it's not a matter of only like the United States. I believe a lot of countries have responsibility and something should be done there. But we all know, thanks to the United States of America, the whole region is in chaos now. And many are tackling their own affairs rather than looking into what's happening in what they consider a distant place like Myanmar.
And Mr. Korb, I want to get your response to that, of course. And secondly, I want to add this on. You know, the Rohingya people have been called numerous times by the UN the most persecuted minority in the world. And, you know, when you have the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum coming out, that's a pretty big deal as well. They even held an exhibition last year. I was going through some of those pictures. So if an institution that important about an event that is that important, especially for the American people as well, of course, in their minds, then why haven't we seen more action from the Western world, not just the United States, but the Western world as a whole?
Yeah, I think, the problem is that they're focused on so many other problems right now. For example, we've talked about, you know, the situation in the Middle East, the problems with China and the East and South China Sea, the nuclear negotiations, with Iran. I mean, all of these problems are getting focused. Boko Haram in Nigeria, what they have done, in the name of, Allah to all of those girls. So, yeah, there's a lot of problems around the world, and the international community needs to focus on them. With my colleague, I'm glad that you brought this up, and I was glad that the New York Times wrote about it and the Holocaust Museum. Hopefully, they get people to act. But if you ask me why they're not, there's so many other things going on that people are trying to deal with.
Mr. Korb, a lot of people say this, that the reason that Myanmar is being opened up to by the Western world is because it has a lot to offer the Western world in the way of resources and minerals. And essentially, the rights of people are being sacrificed for those reasons. How do you respond to that accusation?
Well, again, I can speak for the United States. We don't have that much trade. We're becoming more and more energy independent. We've got a surplus trade. Our economy is doing better than other countries. So it would not be for, an economic reason that if we cut off trade with them, it would have a harmful impact on our economy. I think this is a human rights issue, not an economic issue.
Mr. Moussaoui, how do you feel about the economy issue? Because I have read quite a bit of criticism in that regard, that this is about the minerals and resources of the country being sacrificed, of course, and being used, that is, at the sacrifice of rights.
Well, we can write volumes about the history record of the United States and the Western world when it comes to dictatorships. I believe they will not do anything, actually. Not the United States, not the Western world. All these boasting democracy countries, they are not going to do anything about dictatorships and the totalitarian regimes. We know very well they have the best of relations with dictatorships all over the world, especially those governments or countries that are wealthy with resources, because what they care for, not the human rights or the democracy issues and whatever. They only care for the welfare of their own pockets and their own interests. Here, there is a whole record of inconsistency, of double standards. When he says about Myanmar, they don't have that economic relations. What about Israel? They have the best relations with Israel, and Israel is persecuting the Palestinians. In Gaza, you have 1,500,000 under siege. The least of human rights are being breached there, and they are violating everything there. Why don't the Americans do anything against it? Also, we have Gulf countries that are dictatorships. I mean, you have dictatorships in the Gulf countries, and they have excellent relations with them. They persecute minorities in their own countries. They don't respect all the codes of the United Nations and whatever. So the United States and the West, they are not in a position to say that they don't have like economic relations or whatever. In the very basic principles, they only care for their own interests. There are certain instances where they have raised their voice against, like in human things, when it comes, it boils down to their own political interest. This is the only thing I can say.
Mr. Korba, I want to give you a chance to respond then. We have about a minute left. Go ahead.
There's no doubt that throughout history, nations have permanent interest. As the British scholar said at the Versailles conference, Sir Harold Nicholson, nations have permanent friends or enemies. They don't have permanent interests. You take a look, for example, at the situation in Syria. You've got countries that were working with the United States in Iraq, have a different view of Syria. You've got the Turks have their own interests, and we're trying to get them to work together with us. So yeah, this is what happens. And unfortunately, sometimes issues like this, while it's certainly important, you're talking about 1.3 million people should get more attention, many times they don't.
Okay, well, you have to leave it there as a final thought, but we do appreciate both of you speaking to us today. That was Mr. Lawrence J. Korb, Foreign Policy and National Security Analyst, who is speaking to us live from Washington. And we were also joined by Mr. Ibrahim Moussaoui, who is a political commentator, and he had been speaking to us live from Beirut. And of course, viewers, we do appreciate you joining us as well, and of course, for your comments as well as posted on our social media platforms. Till next time, good night.